5:17.
I was so hoping the storms would get here a little sooner. Kept watching that radar. Donna goes, why do you have the Weather Channel on? Why do you think? But here we are. We're okay. We're fine.
We were all hoping the same thing.
Yeah, I know. That's enough out of you. I know. Thank good. No, that's not true. Actually, he'd be a good object lesson for tonight, but we'll go on without him anyways. Topic for tonight, I'm still not quite sure. I was showed the topic this morning. I know the word fear is in it, so we're just going to go with that because I've noticed a trend so far that no matter what the topic is, people pretty much speak about what they want to speak with anyways. And so I'm going to carry on with that tradition and just kind of go with what I kind of had in mind to talk about. But we've been talking about going, you know, the idea of true north. We were talking about this kind of concept of making sure we're traveling, you know, in the right direction, and kind of all little discussions and talks we've had kind of centered around that. And tonight we're going to be talking about one aspect of taking any journey, and that is the knowledge that if we take a big journey, a long journey, that there can be some hazards in the way, that there can be some things that are kind of blocking our path that are going to cause us some issues somewhere along the line. I was watching a television show the other day, and they were out hunting or something, you know, and the guy said, you know, so far it's been too easy. Something's going to go wrong. You know, and sure enough, you know, it's television, so sure enough, you know, so they had some tragedy, some emergency later on. They didn't get enough crabs in the net, or I don't know what, you know, what the problem was. But, you know, when we think about taking a journey, what we do is we start thinking about contingency plans. What might happen? If I had Mike up here, and Mike's a big hiker, I think, is he still hiking right now? He's on a big hike somewhere, and I'm sure that as he was getting his backpack together, he just didn't simply say, well, you know, I'm planning on camping for a couple days, week, month, whatever, and all I'm going to take is some water, and all I'm going to take maybe is a package of ramen noodles, and that's going to last me, you know, till I get back. You know, we probably wouldn't do that. I bet you Mike has in his pack what he, through his experience of hiking, has caused him to assemble to make sure that if he has some problem along the trail, that he's not able to just simply hop on down to Walmart or whatever and get whatever he needs. And he's going to have it with him so that he can have whatever it is, whether it's food, whether it's emergency, blanket, heat, matches, whatever, you know, the list goes on and on. Whatever he has, he has it. It's there with him so that he can meet any contingency that he might face. And so he's prepared for that. But I think sometimes as we go through life, we look at these journeys that we travel, and if we're not careful, we begin to say what if way too many times. What if this happens? What if that happens? You know, you simply can't really, you know, especially if you're a backpacker, plan for every contingency, or you would be pulling a motorhome behind you. You know, if you're going to have every contingency covered whatsoever, you just simply would never go. Your pack would become too heavy, the burden would become too great, and the fear of problems that may, not for sure, but may block your path may become so great that it keeps you from taking that very first step in the first place. Now, when we start talking about our relationship with God, it's so easy for us to begin to think about the word journey. God, in all his writings, from Genesis through Revelation, talks a lot about this life that we live as a journey. As we travel along, we're going from where we were to where we want to be, and we want to be in heaven. And it's a journey, and we need to plan for that. We need to be prepared for that. But if we become so fearful of the problems that we may face down the road, we may find ourselves literally not taking that first step on that journey to begin with. Now, if you go through the Bible and look at the word fear, you're going to see that the term fear is used mainly in two ways. The most common way that we're used to seeing it is the term fear of the Lord. We see it a lot in the Old Testament. And when we see the term fear of the Lord, understand it's not necessarily that we're absolutely afraid of God. Unless, and this is where I would bring Josh in as an object lesson. But I mean, you know, we don't necessarily fear God in the true sense of how we usually use the term fear, unless we may have not been following His directives very well. You know, when we think about our Father in heaven, it's often useful, for obvious reasons, to look at our relationship with our earthly father. You know, I can't always say that I was in trembling fear of my father, but I knew good and well that there was times that I needed to be fearful of him. I knew there was a whipping coming on. And it wasn't just because he wanted to spank me for whatever reason. It was because I had done something that had deserved his attention, or I knew that I was going to call his attention to me in a very negative way, and that may have caused me to have a lot of fear. But the rest of my relationship with my earthly father was more one of love, more one of friendship, certainly one of awe and respect. And that's usually, when we read in the Bible this idea of fear of the Lord, that's usually the connotation that they're trying to get across to us. That we recognize who we are and who God is, and understand that relationship. Who the boss is. Who the one that has the true power. Who's the one that has the knowledge. Who's the one that's the great I am. Who always has been and always will be. And when we humble ourselves in that knowledge and recognize who God is and who we are, we have, in essence, a fear of God, not in the sense that we're afraid of His company, not that we're afraid of a relationship with Him, but we're simply afraid because of the awesomeness of just who He is. To a certain degree, we may think of this in terms of, you know, meeting an important person. And I don't by any means think that meeting somebody important on earth would be comparable to meeting and being in the presence of physical, literal presence of God, but it does help us kind of get this idea going in our minds. I had the opportunity to meet Barbara Bush one time, and I got to admit that I was in awe of her. It was just, you know, she was just known throughout the world. She was very public official, but once I met her, it was very clear that she was a human being. But I was nervous before I met her. I was concerned that I might do something dumb. I might be doing something stupid. You know, I was trying to prepare myself to meet her. How much more so when we think about our relationship with God? Our respect, realizing God is who He is and who we are, and recognizing the differences between them. So when you go through the Bible, you're going to see a lot of term fear of the Lord. But that's really not what we want to talk about tonight, or what I really want to hit on. I want to talk about the other term. Let me talk a little bit more. Let's talk about Psalms 111:10. Rob, in Psalms 111, it says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and leads to understanding." You know, when we fear God, one of the healthy aspects of that is we begin to pay attention. We pay attention to what He wants from us, what He's doing from us. You know, sometimes with our children, we're trying to teach them something important, and they're off, you know, in La La Land. They're off, you know, looking some other direction, and we try to snap them around to bring in their attention back to what we're trying to teach them or to show them. Well, we do that because we want to try to instill some wisdom or some knowledge into them. And when we're fearful of the Lord in a reverential way, that's the beginning of being a wise and understanding individual. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the writer there says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Again, fear of the Lord in this case is a healthy, beneficial thing to have. It's positive. Again, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not," emphasis being "not" here, "be visited with evil." Again, positive relationship that we have between ourselves and God when we have a healthy, reverential fear of Him. And then finally, over in Proverbs chapter 14, down in verse 26, it says, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children," that would be us, "and His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death." Again, a positive point of view when we use this term fear. Not, in this case, one that we should be thinking of negatively at all. But there is, in the Bible, a negative connotation of fear. And again, it's also found throughout the entire Bible. And that is a spirit of fear. And that's not the good one. A reverential fear of God is going to be beneficial, and we're to encourage that in ourselves. But the second one, a spirit of fear, is detrimental to us, and we've got to figure a way to overcome it. Some way, somehow. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, you remember the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, is writing him words of encouragement. I'm not sure Paul here is realizing that Timothy is kind of out there. You know, he's facing persecutions, he's facing difficulties, getting to where he's going, talking to people that may be older than him, that maybe not be as respectful of him. He understood that Timothy was going to be facing some obstacles in his walk of life. And Timothy could very easily look at those obstacles and say, you know, I just don't want to deal with that. I don't want to fight my way through that, and never take that step that would lead him to a closer relationship with God. But the Apostle Paul, writing to him in 2 Timothy, says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." That's not what we get from God. We don't get that from Him. If we're afraid of speaking to someone about Jesus Christ, if we're in fear of not trusting our decisions and not trusting our burdens and laying them at the feet of God, if we're not willing to do that, if we're fearful of doing that, understand that's not coming from God. That's coming from Satan. And that's one of the best tools that he has. When Paul is writing Timothy, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he says he has given us one of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't know about you, but when you go through life, we are faced with fearful situations. Sometimes we do some of the stupidest things when we're afraid, especially if that fear goes into terror. One day, Martin and Andrew and I were over at school, and I had been given some. He's already shaking his head. I had been given some decking wood that was laying on the ground, and so we were kind of cutting that up in sections, picking it up, putting it on a trailer. And I had already been through and used a chainsaw and cut this section. And as soon as we picked it up, bumblebees boiled out of the ground. And I use that word boil, you know what I mean. I mean, it wasn't one or two, three or four. It was like 1,000 of them and all their best friends come boiling out of the ground. Well, Martin and I, we just kind of made eye contact and we're gone. I went right, he went left. We just zipped out of there. Andrew, in his terror and his fear, froze, did not move. And these things swarmed on him. And from a healthy distance away, I said, "Andrew, run." And I should have been more specific. I should have told him not to run in a circle, because he, in his terror, literally was running in about a 6-foot diameter circle around these things. And they were swarming him. And he was doing that in out of fear and out of terror. Now, looking back on that, obviously he looks back and realizes how silly that was. But the truth is, fear does that to us. When we're driving a car, sometimes fear may make us push the accelerator instead of the brake. Sometimes as we go through life and we're fearful, we may just do some absolutely stupid things, thinking that will alleviate the fear, or that will solve a problem. I remember, I'm not a big fan of spiders. If there's a spider in our house and it's bigger than a dime, Donna's going to have to be the one to kill it. I'll get the little ones, but the big ones, I'm not going to get the big ones, you know. And that fear has been with me for a long time. There was a man across the street that was a Special Forces a ranger in Vietnam. And when he came back from Vietnam, he kind of became my hero. And he was deathly afraid of spiders. And I thought to myself, anything that Dave Butler is afraid of, Steve Likens needs to be afraid of that thing too. Now, I'll handle snakes. I'll do all that kind of stuff. Don't have a problem with any of that. But I have just cultivated over the years a healthy disregard and hate of spiders, fearful of them. And I thought one time to overcome my fear of them, that I would just, there's this idea that if you just expose yourself to your fears, you'll overcome them. So what I did was I bought a tarantula, put it in an aquarium, and set it on my desk at school, thinking that would, you know, I won't be afraid of it anymore. I was terrorized by that thing for over a year and a half before I finally gave it away. I never did like it, didn't want to be around it, you know, and that's probably, when you think about that, that's fear. What does fear cause, you know, should I be afraid of it? No, not really. But fear causes us to do some of the strangest things. That's why when Paul's writing to Timothy, he talks about that what we get from God is not a spirit of fear, but one of love and of a sound mind. I think it's important that we see that. We look real carefully and see that one of power and of love, but that idea of a sound mind, making rational and smart and intelligent decisions instead of letting fear drive those decisions and driving the paths that we might take. When people get lost out into the wilderness, researcher or you know the people that find these folks have gotten very good at going to the family members and saying, or giving them like a list of questions about the person. They're trying to find out, you know, what's the disposition of the person? Is the person going to be lost? Are they going to be really scared? Are they not going to be scared? You know, how do they handle stressful situations? And from that information, they're very good at saying, well, this person has a tendency to panic. And when people panic, they do X, Y, and Z. So we're going to go search over here. And this person has a tendency not to panic. They probably didn't walk very far, so we're going to go search where they were last seen. And they're very good at those things, determining that. Because when we're extremely fearful, again, that idea that we kind of make some pretty bad decisions. The truthfulness of it is, though, that fear often just keeps us from moving at all. Keeps us from doing anything. And when we think about it, that's probably one of the best tools that Satan has in his arsenal. That we are so fearful of what might happen that it keeps us from simply doing anything at all. To overcome that fear, that's going to require trust. And that's going to require not only trust, but trust in God. And it also requires the love of God. Donna had a wonderful experience this week. She went swimming with Lorelai. And Lorelai was up on the around the pool doing something. And Donna was in the water. And Donna encouraged Lorelai to jump, not thinking that she really would. And Donna, apparently Lorelai just took the plunge. You know, and that was done because of these two things. I'm confident of that. That she knows that Mimi loves her. She may not be able to articulate it, but she understands the concept. And she also trusts Mimi because she knows that there's love there. Again, not being able to articulate it, but she can put it into actions. She could take herself in a safe situation, put herself in a potentially harmful situation because she loves and trusts Mimi to not let anything harmful happen to her. So when we think about our relationship with God, if we're going to overcome fear so that we can go to where we need to go, we're going to have to trust in God And we're going to do that because we recognize the love of God. Again, from Genesis through Revelation, God constantly reminds us of us to not fear. He tells us, don't do it. If you look at Isaiah 41 and 10, we'll see, fear not, for I am with you. This is God talking. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Again, that idea of fear of God in that case is a healthy thing. We recognize who He is versus who we are. Yes, we may be facing obstacles. Yes, we may be facing difficulties that we by ourselves can't overcome. But the truth is, it's not us by ourselves. We've got God working with us. God says, fear not, I'm going to be with you. And let's not forget the fact that I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you. He says, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In other words, when he talks about that right hand, he's saying, I'm going to help you with my greatest strength. I'm going to do that for you. God says, fear not, because I'm going to be with you. Fear the future, what's ahead of us on life's road may cause us to become so fearful that we never take that step. We never take that chance. We never take that opportunity to fulfill God's will in our lives. Matthew, in his writing, writing what Jesus was talking about, says that, aren't we worth more than sparrows? You know? God takes care of those sparrows. He takes care of the flowers in the field. He takes care of those animals that we see around us. And he says, yet, aren't we more important than they are in the grand scheme of things? And the answer to that is, we are. Again, that idea of love in and trust of God. Finally, in Psalms chapter 56, in verse 11, the psalmist there says, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. He doesn't stop there then, because he recognized, if that's the case, if I'm going to put my trust in God, if I'm going to have the faith that God is going to take and see me through, not through just through this world that we live in, this earth that we're living on, but it's going to see me through the end into the final destination of my journey, which is heaven. If God is going to be with me and see me through those difficulties, He's going to uphold my problems with His righteous right arm. The writer in Psalm says, what can man do to me? What can possibly happen to me if that's the way God is going to deal with me in my relationship? And when we talk about true north, we talk about being on the right direction, it's very important that we understand that not only do we know where we're going, not only do we have a map of how to get there, not only that we have a will of doing it, but the fact is we've got to recognize we have to do it. We have to take that first step. And one of the things we can't allow to happen in our lives is fear of the unknown, fear of what may be, cause us to become immobile and become static and not move from where we're at. That's not the kind of growth that God looks for in our lives, and it's not the kind of growth that's going to give us the pleasure of growing and becoming strong in the Lord. Tonight, God's invitation is open to you. If you have any need whatsoever, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.